From the heart of Makanda to your ears worldwide. From the heart of Makanda to your ears worldwide. It's Ayukopio on your joyride. From the heart of Makanda to your ears worldwide. From the heart of Makanda to your ears worldwide. It's Ayukopio on your joyride.
Dumelang Molweni Absheni, welcome to Are You Coping? Where we focus on Rhodes University students and how they cope from different traumas, stresses and challenges throughout their university life. I am your host, Ulisa Kanye Ngogwana, and I'm so excited to be joined today by my co-host, Inam Kichana. Hi Inam, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good too, my love.
Today we are focusing on how students deal with the huge pressures of university life at Rhodes. We look at all different ways they try to find relief and escape, from healthy things like faith and spirituality to risk things like drugs, alcohol and self-harm. We'll hear real personal stories from students about what helped them and what almost trapped them. University life is truly hard. The social pressure, emotional challenges, and academic stress often make students look for a way out. Some students find calm in their spiritual beliefs. Others use behaviors that only give them a brief escape, like substance abuse.
So, in studio today, we have a guest for you guys, because Yan is Tanda and stuff, who is a student here at Rhodes University, Ubriana Msiza. She has joined us today to discuss the coping mechanisms she has observed so far in her university career. Hi, Brianna. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Lisa. I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good, too. So, Brianna, would you please tell us of the coping mechanisms you have observed so far in Rhodes University, actually?
Well, I've been at Rhodes for close to 2 years now, currently doing my second year, and I have observed a lot of coping mechanisms, both conventional and unconventional. But I have to say that resorting to alcohol and groove as a way of escaping, you know, ukudedelikazi, is something that I have seen a lot, and I have no thoughts on whether or not that's good or bad. To each their own, right? But there's also the whole thing of looking for an escape through religion. And when I say religion, I say religion, not spirituality, because those are two different things, right? One is an institute and the other is more of a personal thing. So I've also noticed that. I've also noticed dating, surprisingly. People, like, because you don't want to be alone, and maybe your friends are not as around as you'd like them to be. So then you look for someone to help you forget. You know, people do do that, which is very dehumanizing. But and there are people who hike, who exercise, who pray. So, those are just some of the coping mechanisms that I've noticed here on campus.
Yeah, thank you so much, Brianna. I just want to touch on one of the coping mechanisms that you just lightened up in my head, you know, which is dating. I never really considered that as a coping mechanism until I noticed it in people in my life around me. You don't necessarily how we go in a relationship with ambulance, type of situation. And I've always seen that, and I'm like, oh, that makes so much sense, because honestly, babe, who has time to be crying nowadays? We have things to do, we have bills to pay. Fine. But I notice about people actually do use it not only as a coping mechanism, but also to hide from their traumas as well. And it is such a coping mechanism that is not really brought to light as much. But also, I don't think it's really that prevalent to talk about like that. But yeah, I just wanted to thank you for enlightening me about that. And I wanted to thank you for joining us here in studio today. It was lovely having you. So up next, we have Uchulumango, whose story is a strong warning about the dangers that can exist in one of the coping mechanisms students use, spirituality. After she felt lost and she felt so unsure about her path after leaving university, a friend of her introduced her to Scientology during a very low point in her life. At first, the group did seem to give her exactly what she needed. Clarity, direction, a welcoming community. But it quickly turned into dust. But at the same time, she did feel truly appreciated and celebrated. Their auditing sessions did seem helpful, allowing her to face her fears and past traumas in a very supportive space. She did feel like she was really making progress and healing. Let's listen to Kulumango's Vox Pox.
I was first introduced to Scientology in the most casual way, through a friend. She invited me to do one of their free personality tests. At the time, I didn't think of it as a recruitment tactic. It seemed harmless, even a little fun. I was curious about myself and I thought, why not? After that, they invited me back for a short course on communication. And from there, it slowly snowballed into deeper involvement. In the beginning, I honestly felt like I was gaining control of my life. They told me that through their teachings, I could clear my mind and overcome any limitations. They gave me a rush of hope. The people seemed welcoming, almost like instant family, and the sense of belonging was very powerful. I felt noticed, affirmed, and celebrated in a way I hadn't experienced before. For the first time, I thought maybe I've found where I belong. Scientology gave me the tools that felt like real coping mechanisms. Whenever I was anxious or overwhelmed, they told me to return to the technology, which meant their teachings and courses. Auditing sessions especially felt like therapy. It gave me the illusion that I was making progress, that I had a way to process my pain. For someone who didn't feel in control of their emotions, that was very appealing. It took over every part of my life. They influenced who I spent time with, who I dated, how I used my money, even what kind of career choices I made. They taught me to prioritize church above everything else. I was conditioned to think that any decision not aligned with Scientology was self-sabotage. Slowly, my entire life or world became about them, and relationships outside shrank until they nearly disappeared. And painful, I had to relearn how to trust myself, to listen to my own instincts, instead of waiting for someone to tell me what was right. Therapy was a huge part of that, along with reconnecting with my family. I also had to face emotions I'd been suppressing for years without leaning on their techniques. It wasn't easy, man, but eventually I started building genuine coping strategies, ones that didn't depend on control or manipulation. Support empowers you to grow independently. It encourages your freedom, your individuality, and respects your right to question. Control, on the other hand, shows itself as support, but also comes with strings attached. Now I know the difference. If love or guidance demands blind loyalty, it isn't real support. Okay, the last question. I'll tell them, like, pay attention to the cost. If the group is isolating you from your loved ones, if it's demanding money or an unquestioning loyalty, that's not help. That's control. Real healing won't cut you off from the world. It will reconnect you to it. Trust your instinct. If something feels off, don't ignore it like I did. You deserve freedom, not change that resonates as salvation.
Oh, Sana, that was a very informative interview, or let's rather say VN from Ukulumango. Oh, Sana, I learned quite a lot, but I just want to hear first from my co-host Uinam.
Yo, I've noticed that in this VN, cult is very manipulative, honestly. As Kulumango mentioned, that at first, she went there just because of she wanted healing, just because she was depressed. She went there just because of she knew that she was going to be better, or she believed that she was going to be better. Mm. But as time goes on, yeah, she was better at first. Mm. But as time goes on, that's when she felt like she was being controlled. And that shows that some coping mechanisms, like they have like bad consequences at the end, you know, like cult. Because you go there just because you want healing. And then, yeah, at first you do get that healing.
Yeah.
But as time goes on, that's when you realize, Kuti, nah, I'm being controlled here. I'm not healing. Mm-hmm. Things are just becoming worse. And that is the worst thing about coping mechanism. That is why it is important when you choose a coping mechanism, mm-hmm. have to make sure you choose the right one.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there will be consequences, but make sure you fit in that one. You know what I'm trying to say?
Now, personally, Shem, I actually agree with what you're saying, because that's something that I also took from the VN, is that the cult group specifically did feed onto what Uchulumanga was feeling at the time, feeling a sense of being lost, depressed, and whatsoever. And obviously, they need vulnerable people like that so that they can elevate banyuke babhali within their cult group.
Yeah.
So, you know, Chulumanga's story did really touch me, and it really also reminded me of a story, actually, that is very similar.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think I'd make mention of it on here, but because of Chulumanga, she just sparked that thought within me. I also know of a story of a girl from first year. We were first years last year, and she had joined this friendship, right? And obviously, from the get-go, the friendships is nice. Kubone, right after a week, izinto zifreshi, kumnandi, zintshilo, kumnandi, man, in essence, yabo. But as time went, because they in this friendship, they went to the specific church together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And babe tikeniswa ilaqawe mostly. That's where their friendship really blossomed, because of the church. But as time went, she started to notice some beliefs that were very, very... Because obviously, when you come from first year, there is a period of time where you feel lost, you feel confused, you just want to go home, and you feel all sorts of vulnerable, and you just need like a sense of belonging, because obviously you're in a new environment. And she found that environment and the friendship, because obviously the whole situation is interconnected. And as time went, she started to notice that belief, or this one, let's rather say God within the friendship, like umdu leader, basically boss. And le bossy kuanjo nge rules zekawa kengo kule bossy. And njema I bossy uba u boss akavani nomnye. If the boss doesn't get along with anyone, they don't have to get along with that person. They don't greet them, then do anything to them. And she started to notice that, like, very negative traits within the cult group. And obviously at that point, I remember her telling me that now she feels a bit lost, because she started to think that she didn't really form the kind of friendships that she wanted to form in high school. Oh, here in varsity, my bad. In varsity, yabona.
Mm-hmm.
And she's really starting to feel a bit depressed about it, because obviously she now has to break away from the group, and that on its own is a grieving process. So, like, in essence, in conclusion, she did feel like it was a cult group, it just reminded me of that situation, and how really, as Azindo, they really do feed off people who are vulnerable and that feel small, depressed, and whatsoever.
Yeah.
And it's really important to raise awareness about it. Uguti, it's okay to feel that way, and it's okay to seek out help, to seek out coping mechanisms, but just like you said, they should be healthy. They should benefit you in the long run, like long term. When you choose a coping mechanism, you have to think, is it gonna benefit me in the long run? For example, if you choose like painting to distract yourself from thoughts, or listening to music, whatsoever, is it going to, you know? But that's really what I took from the conversation.
And we also have Nomusa, a Rhodes University student too, who has observed problems that tend to show in religious groups. Let's take a listen to this audio.
Okay, so I'm a religious person, and being religious basically has an impact on my whole life, especially here in university. For example, it gives me morals and ethics that I need to follow. So, you know, there's certain commandments that we need to follow being Christian. So, for instance, do not lie and stuff like that. So when it comes to assignments, and, you know, Kolo, they have this plagiarism form where they ask us, do you use ChatGPT? So I'm forced to answer and say, yes, I used AI. Also, when it comes to cheating, you know, I need to know what cheating is wrong. So I can't cheat on my assignments and my quizzes and stuff like that. Also, coming to university, basically, is a new life experience that's full of changes and challenges and so on. So, you know, it's easy for you to get lost and stuff like that when you come to university. So being religious helps you find your identity, who are you and like what are the things that you do and follow. And then another thing is it gives me a sense of community. Another thing I think is important for us to consider is that religion is meant to inspire people and give them a purpose to live, not necessarily to, you know, give them fear and despair. So by telling people that Jesus is coming back, do this and do this, it's installing fear into people's lives, and it's basically making them live an anxious life, and that's not a nice life to live, you know. So let's just remind people, Uti, this is like right now, the earth where we live in right now, we should have peace, love, and kindness. So let's not install fear into people's lives. Let's just speak to them, Gahle, and let them know, Uti, okay, if God is coming back, be ready, prepare yourself, and just be in right standing.
That was a really interesting VN from Unomu Sahe. It really just caught me off guard, I'm not going to lie. Because in terms of what she mentioned when it comes to truthfulness within her religion and also the whole plagiarism declaration thing. And I understand, Payana, it has to deal with India's ethical and so on and so forth. And kudos to her for doing that, you know. But when it comes to Lendo Yeba, Tito is coming back in September. October, where is he? Like, it would be nice, guys. It would be nice if that was really, if I was also Christian, it would be so nice. So, you know, it really just, that whole VN just made me think how sometimes religion can take it too far. Like, if we, guys, if it's tetelizans and we're honest, religion sometimes does take it too far.
True.
Because, what do they have to say for themselves now that we're in August and the God is not here. Like, God is not back. Guys, itini itu. What about tina as abas tenji sweba? It go long ngo sete maliakal. So that whole situation was, it really did catch me off guard. Shema, no, I'm not gonna lie. Hey,
Yeah, and they have been saying God is coming back. Even last year, they were saying like the same story. But still, God is not here. I just don't get it. I feel like they're doing that as a way of trying, I don't want to say control us, but I think so, just to put fear on us. Having that thing with God is coming back, so we should take care of ourselves. Like, that's why they're doing that. They want to put that pressure on us. We should obey God and
and that's why religion is a social construct. It's something that is constructed to control the population. And I'm not understanding empty promises, shame, I'm not gonna lie, because if I was Christian and really I believed in that and I was told but Uthixo is coming back in September, what's going on? Understand the empty promises given again. Because being I said, if it was September, see, I mean, guys, and it just made me also, like, Numusa's story also made me think about how, of my journey of becoming non-religious. Because I am a non-religious person, by the way. I don't really follow religion as much as in the Kulele Panskwayo, but I don't really follow it anymore because of the values and the ideas and the beliefs that have been incorporated as Basikulu Bonba. This is not really aligning with the type of person I want to be, you know? And like, Nomusa's story just made me realize, but it just validated my decision. Oguba, I'm actually not religious. I am a very spiritual person. I am into African spirituality, what I was born into, not religion, which was, if we are very much serious, guys, it was introduced by the white man. So, ish, I man. Nomusa, thank you so much for Ivinia Kostano Sam. You did a real thing.
Like, religion is influenced by the outsiders, honestly. Like, it is. I would just say, people must just believe in what they want to believe. That's it.
Ish. Anyways, we also had a conversation about the use of faith as a coping mechanism. So today we also do have a game for you guys, just to keep the show running and, you know, interested and stuff. And the game we have for you today is Are You Real? So this is a short anonymous coping stories that we took from Rhodes students, either real or fiction. And we will guess, or I will ask my fellow peers over here to guess which one is real, which one is made up. And they will also do the same thing to me. So, okay, guys, the first one I have for you is the monument story, right? So, she said, after a brutal breakup, I climbed up to the monument at 2 a.m., lit a candle, and did a full moon meditation in my gown. I left a handwritten letter under a rock addressed to my future healed self. I'll go back every month to check if it's still there. Do you guys think that one is true or that one is, like, fictionalized?
I think it's true.
I think it's true also because that's something I would do.
Real. You know, guys, a breakup actually makes you do crazy stuff. Like, guys, if you see it, it's like doing a lender, guys, breakups make you do crazy stuff. Like, yo,
true.
The day, Mina, I also, it just made me think about, like, the day I found out. That was literally the first time I went to go touch grass. I don't like going outside too much. I went to botanical gardens, guys. I touched grass. That's how bad it was. But game, yeah. So the second one I have for you guys is the Secret Shower Choir. So she said, during exam week, I started singing in the communal showers at midnight, full on Beyonce. It became a thing. People started joining in, and by the end of the week, we had harmonies, solos, and someone brought an ukulele. It was the only time I felt sane. Do you guys think that one is true or that one is fictionalized?
It's a fictionalized.
True?
Why
makes
you say that?
Okay. I want to hear from both of you guys. You're saying it's true. Yeah. Why?
I think it's because she said she was playing the music on full blast mode for like a couple of days.
Mm.
And then other people would join in when they go shower because it's a communal shower. Yeah. Like everyone showers probably at the same time, three people. You get.
Yeah.
So I think maybe they would like get it in their minds when the music starts playing, and then Lisa is on the shower, maybe.
Yeah.
Go take a shower. She's playing Beyonce. Maybe.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I am kind of Beyonce.
But real.
And then she joins, and then they sing. So it became like a routine. Like,
Yeah. And you? Would it be false? Why?
I'm saying it's false just because at rest you're going to get hours.
Okay.
There's no way you're going to listen to music while you're taking a shower. And I feel like people are very busy to join you. Like, and not all of us love to listen to music while taking a shower. We have different hobbies, you know. I feel like people are very busy to do that. I feel like it's kind of crazy.
But, like, what if ukoza rezinye namthetho mzekelo? Like, I lived in New House, and akomthetho payana. Like, I would do that. Like, that's something I would do and not get hours from.
I would say it depends on who you are and what kind of person you are. Not everyone like will join that because some of us like our own space, you know. We are introverted, so I feel like
introverted, Rena.
Not me, but some people, I get it. So I don't think everyone like would do that on this station.
Who has time?
But then we have to remember, but it's a communal, meaning it's sort of like a house that we're renting. It's not like a raise. So you come in, but your room, Lisa, it's Inam's room, it's my room, which is like six in this commune. So we vibe.
Bro, and honestly, to be honest, Nam, if I go into the shower and I hear someone playing like some Beyonce, I am going to sing along. Sorry. I am going to, like, that is, like, what the hell? I am singing along. So, you know, I understand both of you guys' answer, and you guys are both valid, but the story is fictionalized.
Okay, here is the third confession for the day. Mm-hmm. It says hashtag post breakup purification.
Ooh.
I just got dumped and my coping is intense.
Okay.
I start by playing gospel music really loud while I clean the entire apartment. It feels like a spiritual deep clean. Then I take the biggest bottle of cheap vodka I can find and use it to cleanse myself of the bad feelings. I call the whole process spiritual renewal. Clean place, clean heart.
What type of cleansing is this? Does she drink the whole entire bottle or does she, like, is she, like,
I think she drinks the bottle.
I think she drinks the bottle. I do the same thing too. It goes back to Langoko Besinaiba. Breakups actually make you do crazy stuff. Like, I do the same thing.
Yeah, I also agree with that. It's true.
I mean, come on, we're so obvious. I will come on.
Yeah. Okay, our fourth confession is booth cocktail hour. It says, when my last relationship ended, I started using a two-step system to deal with my guilt and sadness.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, two-step. Guilt and sadness.
Okay.
First, I go to a quiet corner, text my ex an overly long apology, and then immediately delete the message without sending it.
Mm-hmm.
I call this digital confession.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I mix a holy water cocktail, which is gin, soda, and a lot of regrets.
Okay.
I sip it slowly while reading inspirational Bible quotes on my phone. The balance is key.
That's crazy.
That's all I'm thinking too. Like, that's crazy. That's actually crazy. Like, pipeline, I don't know. I mean, it could be true.
We are not the same. Yeah, people are different. But for me, I'll take it like a false.
Why do you say it's false?
Guys, it doesn't make sense. I don't know.
Like, in what way? Because
it doesn't make sense.
I walk through an umduam and I write a message and then I delete her and then I feel better after doing
the message. Who can do that?
And then I celebrate maybe with like a cocktail. Then I send
them, son. Because you're fine and long.
I still send messages to my ex. Going in block, I know she won't receive them.
That's a sign that you are toxic or you're a psycho. Sorry
for that. Not even. But Ukubo is the address. Like, I'm not the late reactor. Yeah, but it can be when we and the... Like,
you do something,
and when God said, cool, I won't react. I'm just like, okay. And then, 2 weeks later, no, man, go on and then so, out of the chance, just write.
Rather not react if you were late reactor, okay?
No, but it does help. You know, actually, if it does help to react as in a late because you act in a more calmer and in a manner a badly layer that you would never regret.
Yeah.
Our actor from the spot was a song.
You might say things that
but situations they differ. When you react off emotion, I don't know. Inga turn bad trick.
So but, is it true or false?
I think it's true actually.
I'm still standing with false.
Okay. And it's true.
Oh my god.
You are evil. This is. Sorry, go. 10 years.
Wow. Okay. Mm. 10 actually. So, guys, the another one is the lecture hall nail pick.
Okay.
It goes like this. I figured out that the back row of Eden Grove Blue has the perfect angle for a 20-minute power nap.
Mm-hmm.
I go in between classes, pretend to be waiting for a lecture, and sleep with my hoodie pulled low.
Mm-hmm.
Once I woke up to a full class and the lecture asking me a question.
Yo.
Is it real or exaggerated or a fiction?
I feel like it could be real. It's something that's like very much possible. Because mm-hmm. Like, who doesn't take it? Like, sometimes you do take naps in the lecture hall. Come on. So, but if you do it consecutively, like, what are you expecting? But I feel like it's real.
I should think it's real.
Okay. I also think it's real.
No, you guys, it is real.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, another one.
Saitipa. London Channel. Saitipa.
Okay, the other one goes like this. Mm-hmm. When I'm depressed, I choose to isolate myself from people. I don't go to DH. I don't eat for like 2 days. Mm. I prefer to cry in my room until I feel better. And I prefer to write what's bothering me on the mirrors. Mm. And after doing that, I do feel better. Is it true or is it a lie?
Now I have a question. Do you have a billion in what is 10?
For real.
What do you mean?
I feel like it's true but exaggerated.
Yeah.
Why are you writing on the mirror whenever? Like,
you prefer books? Mirrors. Yeah, you can write on the book, but you want a mirror.
That's such a random selection, actually. I'm not gonna lie.
What are you using to write in the mirror?
Zikoni journals, mshami kera journal, and a kaka.
A lipstick, yes. You don't need a journal, you just want a mirror.
Mm. Oh, I stand always on a lipstick.
I think it's exaggerated.
Yeah, I think it's exaggerated, but true.
It is true. I don't know about it's exaggerating. True.
You don't know about exaggerated.
But it is true.
Okay,
guys. Love.
Okay. Okay, guys, thank you for joining us for Are You Real or Are You Not? Stay tuned to find out in the next segment we have for you guys.
We also had a conversation about the use of faith as a coping mechanism, and now we are moving on to the use of substances and certain behaviors as a form of escapism and the consequences that come out for this. The next audio features Rhodes University students, Emile, Kamva, and Liema, who share their understanding of coping mechanism, their experiences of indulging in or witnessing indulgence in substance abuse, as well as the observed consequences. Let's take a listen to this audio.
Okay, so the three coping mechanisms that students face on a daily is probably alcohol abuse. I am a victim one myself. And second is drug abuse, smoking, weed, hubbly, etc. And third one is sexual abuse, not necessarily anything to do with abuse, but people indulge in such. These coping mechanisms that are often stigmatized, I would say more is sexual indulgence. I think people are shamed for indulging in sex. I mean, there are fair points or fair issues could be raised with engaging in sex, particularly STIs or engaging in unprotected sex. But I think it mainly stems from the fact that there's just been this, I don't want to say dehumanization, but like it's this I don't want to say warning, but everyone's just against students having sex without even understanding why students particularly engage in sexual activities. I think in university experiences, we're at a stage where we're experiencing, we're transitioning into adulthood, and as such, we are, I don't want to say open, but we're expressing our sexuality, we're testing boundaries, freedom, and just knowing what we like and what we don't like. And I think at this stage, university students are at a perfect position to figure that out, what they like and don't like in sexual activities. So yeah, it's definitely demonized. And whereas to others, like drug abuse or alcohol abuse, I wouldn't say it's demonized. It's more so treated as something that's normal or a bit less criticized.
I think the three that come to the top of my head are alcohol, weed, and self-harm as a coping mechanism. And I say self-harm is a coping mechanism because a lot of people are suicidal, or, you know, we all have different ways of dealing with whatever's troubling us. And some drink, some choose to smoke weed, and some choose to self-harm, you know, just cut their wrists to feel pain. And I feel like it is one that is more stigmatized than others, because in as much as, you know, you're close to losing your life, like you're risking your life, I think we all self-harm in some sort of way. I'm not condoning it. I do not condone it. I don't say do it, no, but it is a coping mechanism for a lot of people around campus.
I feel like
for the most part, it could be being broken. You experience certain traumas to the extent whereby you're scrambling and you're looking for anything that could possibly save you from the pain that you're feeling. So that's a possible reason why.
I just think a lot of us, Zotinina, like, we're so stressed out and we want to detach from whatever we're feeling, and alcohol seems to be the closest thing to help us from detaching. You're out with people, you're socializing, you're so much lighter than the person you are. You forget about your problems. Although it is temporary, it does help. It's a good high to help, you know, get through the weekend. And yeah, I think just emotions, pressure, Zotinina. Also just not being able to speak about a lot of things. It just does that to someone, and I think alcohol is so easy to get to. And it makes you socialize, you know, puts on a mask for you.
Basically what happened, the person was, they were not in a good space with the people that, you know, she was living with. She was not in a, they were not on speaking terms. Mm. Yeah. And there were also like power dynamics involved in this, in which she was seen as, you know, a little, not a little person, but she was seen as being inferior to the people that she was around. And instead of, you know, addressing the dynamics going on, that I don't like A, B, C, D, they ended up falling into detrimental coping mechanisms such as excessive drinking and whatnot. And later on, she essentially realized that, oh, by partaking in A, B, C, D, I am basically proving their point that, okay, I'm easily influenced, for instance, I am A, B, C, D. Instead of basically addressing the situation, that's what happened. She used excessive drinking to avoid the living situation, and that ended up blowing up in her face because now she was caught drunk and whatnot, all of that.
So I'm just going to talk about myself because I love talking about myself. But I do drink. I do use drinking as a coping mechanism for a lot of things, even just for fun, man. Like, I just be doing it. And it genuinely makes me feel good. I'm not going to lie. Every time I have a sip of wine, like, whenever I have that, I just feel like a normal person. I'm not overthinking. I'm just calm, man. I'm just in a very calm state. Like, everything is just fine. Like, I feel normal. Yeah, well, and I do think alcohol does provide a temporary relief. It's just for now, and then afterwards, you like when you papalaza, and you just have so much anxiety, and it's like the day after drinking. I don't recommend. Don't ever wake up. I think it leads to more problems, though. Yes, actually, like, you'll have encounters at the club with people. Like, ukabane, and it's like, this would never have happened had I stayed at home, had I not drank so much. And now you come in the classmate that you're gonna see every day, and it's like, what did I say? Sometimes you don't even remember, and it's like, what did I even do? Like, now you're stressed out, and anxiety already topped off with being like embarrassing yourself in front of everyone at the club.
I just want to first off thank Ukamba, Uliyema, Kunye, Emihle for sharing with us their VNs and their stories. But I just want to also touch on what they said that really quite opened my worldview in a way, I'm not going to lie. It also just made me think about how our environment is the one that's really adding on to us resorting to Tina as Rose students, specifically resorting to the negative, harmful coping mechanisms. Just like Ukamba said, substance abuse. So that's like alcohol, weed, drugs, just also like mashing up everything that Uliyema also said, with substance abuse. let's be honest, we live in a town that has nothing to do. Akuko ice skating rink, akuko cinema, akuko game range. There is literally nothing to do here. And let's be for real as well, real with ourselves. Rhodes University is quite a challenging university academically. And kwangokya sasisiza apa, we knew like ukuthi this is really a challenging university. But we generally did not know that with it's like it's challenging throughout in all aspects of our lives. And that's why really we tend to resort to as a coping mechanisms that are harmful, because that is all that is there for us. The like Aaron understand me cause I 37 all dizzy in rustic rooty return parents, like that's all they have to offer for us. Not like the only, let's rather say, nice thing to do, or the positive rather coping mechanisms that are there, is to go to a botanical gardens and have a picnic. That's not everyone's cup of tea. Like sometimes sometimes you just want to do something physical, something that will make you take your mind off things. Sure, a picnic will, but like also at the same time you just want to have fun, you just want to live a childlike day, have a childlike day. Go umzekelo, we only like the only way we can like do those things is for us to imagine, bro, just imagine. Like it just made me think about like how environment is really adding on to like our coping mechanisms. Yo guys, like hey Aishem, silibonile e Rhodes University. No, like one day so to see Pumaglo University, so see badly seba. Yeah, like Payana, it's not for the week, Sana. Yeah. It's not for the week. Yeah. But yeah, Wena, what do you think, Wena Kawan?
You know, I would just say Rhodes University is a mess. Us as students from Rhodes University, we are a mess because we are depressed. Like, we are depressed. And this town is very small. Yeah, counselors, lecturers, and other people, but, like, you have to take care of yourself. You have to find a hope. You have to find something that is going to disrupt you sometimes from your studies and whatever. And, yeah, there is sports. We agree. You can play sports. But not all of us are into sports.
Real.
That's why people tend to go into use groove as their coping mechanism, use drugs as their coping mechanism, because there's nothing else they can do beside that, because Rhodes University is a small town, as you said. We don't have a lot of things. We don't have cinema. Like, yo, shame this place. It is depressing.
Katalwa pasana, katalwa pa. Like, also, about the sexual thing of being used as a coping mechanism as well. I've never really thought that could be a thing. And I have, like, people in my life where I know Uguti, like, they do use it as a coping mechanism. But, like, I never really, like, you just know, but, okay, my friend or my cousin or my partner or someone is, like, a sex addict. And, it's just being a sex addict. It's okay, like, it's fine. But now that Ukamva has brought into light, really, it is, like, something that is really harmful. It's one of the coping mechanisms that we can deem harmful, because what lens can you go to have that quick little fix to distract you from your mind? So I just genuinely think all of this, man, like, generally and truly, our environment is the one that's just adding on to our feelings of depression, our feelings of anxiety, our feelings of there's just nothing here to, there's not an outlet. There's not much outlets here that we can use to ukusuka kwesi state sikuso, man.
Even the fact that some people harm themselves, like, I just don't get it. That shows that we are depressed here. And I feel like Rhodes University should do something about it. Not just counseling or something.
Exactly. Counseling, it helps to a certain extent.
Exactly.
It helps to a certain extent. Because there's a pumaga counseling, and then what's next?
Like, and some of us don't like to open up ourselves, like to strangers. No, we don't like to do that.
Real. So, no, honestly, I just, not that I'm supporting it, like, this is not a platform where, like, I'm supporting it. I'm just saying, like, I just understand about why Abantu bavele bazidelete. I understand why Abantu bavele bazidelete. Anyways, I'm so sorry for that. Also, Emily's aunt as well, we haven't touched on that, actually. I think she uses faith as a coping mechanism. That is one of the positive things you can go for. But, like, what happens for Ababantu that can't use it? Because, umzekelo, I have icawe that I go to back at home, ne, but mm-hmm. I eco up, and I wouldn't want to start icawa enja apa. Like, I feel like that just goes, that goes a lot against a lot of values mm-hmm. that have been instilled in me. Bear in mind, I am still not Christian. Bear in mind, I'm still not religious. I just go to church occasionally for, you know, purposes zezumdin, you get me?
Mm-hmm.
But like, what happens to abandu, like abafananam, let's say abandu that are religious, but they can't find a church here that like that feels like the church back at home, and they can't use faith. We are going again, don't go abandu abanje, and like, what do they do? Like, go on, at least back to Maxelo, guys.
I feel like each and every person has something they believe on. Not everyone believe in, like, we all have different religion and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can believe in something else if you don't believe in. Yeah. And yeah, I also use faith as a coping mechanism. I was going through a lot, and it only helped me for like that particular moment. And then after that, I saw that there is no progress. I'm just, I don't know.
And Liam actually also touched on how she also does use alcoholism as a way of socializing. Because obviously, like, alcohol and going to the club is a way of socializing. Because outside of that bubble, she can't, I don't want to say she can't socialize, but it is a bit hard for her because, you know, sometimes seeing a band is self-conscious. And shout out to Liema, shout out to King Lee. But like, I'm also thinking, like, I'm also like empathizing with people like that as well, like, genuinely and truly. I don't, like, if we honest, our environment
mm-hmm.
Environment in inverted commas,
okay,
is not really creating is a space where we can genuinely get to know each other and mingle and like be one. Like, I came here to university and I thought, not that I thought I was gonna get with like 150, like, I'm not gonna know the whole in university, but you know, I'm gonna make connections. And like, the environment again is, it doesn't really make it's going to meet and greet, but iphelela pa ku meet and greet, guys, let's be for real. Iya phelela pa ku meet and greet. Masibe senyaneni, guys.
Sure.
Masibe senyaneni.
Sure.
And like, this whole conversation about like coping mechanisms and alcoholism and substance abuse, it just made me also think about, like, I don't want to touch on this, but like, anyways, we're here. It just made me also think about like how I recently lost someone to a coping mechanism. And like, at first, people who are outside of that bubble who can't understand Uguti, why is someone constantly using a that specific coping mechanism to get better?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are you using that specific coping mechanism? Like, you're so selfish. Why are you doing that? Like, because that is ruining your relationship with others. Like, let's be for real. Like, sometimes that can ruin the relationship you have with other people.
Mm-hmm.
That goes to the club all the time. And then you meet people and you fight. And then the next day, it's campus. And then you're on the campus and you're like, oh my God, why did I do that? And then the next weekend, we are opinion. It can ruin relationships, Lando. Like, once you get into the hang of it, we are usbonuba. This is like just a norm. And like, now that we have conducted these interviews with these people about the coping mechanisms, I am like slowly starting to realize or starting to see as a coping mechanisms that are harmful. And I really empathize with them and I sympathize with them and I stand with them. I am saying that I stand with you, I understand you, I feel you, I hear you, and I see you, honestly and truly. I hope that we get out of the slump that we're in. I hope that we conquer this whole situation, depression, yongelendo, guys. I just hope one day kuze kulunge. Yo. Guys. So, we have come to the end of our show. I just want to thank everyone for joining us on Are You Coping? So, from all the experiences we've just listened to, it is quite clear to see that students are really searching for relief from life's pressures and stresses. His daughters got no musa, uchulu, emihle, ukamva, no liema. Thank you guys for sharing your VNs. They do reveal a need for a strong support system and that we all need to come together and really support each other as members of the same learning community. Now, I just want to ask Nina Bapulapuli Betu, what do you think are the sustainable ways to use, that you use to cope? you know? And I just wanna say goodbye. Bye bye. From the heart of Makanda to your ears worldwide, it's Are You Coping, your audio joyride.